You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 374, and today it's the day after the Super Bowl, which it should be a national holiday, in my opinion. And I think if Trump or if a candidate would have run on that, I think they would have got a couple more points in the polls or in the votes. I mean, if that would have been something they would have run on. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, including some news from the famous Notre Dame walk-on Rudy. Notre Dame has Junior Day coming up, and then Notre Dame also released prices for the new stadium seating. So there's some good news there for Notre Dame football fans. So Randall's joining me over Skype. Randall, you're in Phoenix, Arizona. How's the weather out there, and what are you doing out there?
Well, it's great weather. Today it's a little bit cloudy. It was actually nice to have an excuse to come do the podcast because we're picking fruit. We have quite a few, grandparents have quite a few fruit trees out here, so we pick all that and send it back to Indiana. So it was nice to get a little break from that. I did go watch some golf this weekend, went to the Phoenix Open, and got to watch the PGA a little bit, got fried out in the sun, so... Some people might not like watching golf, but it's actually a lot of fun going to an event.
So are you able to cheer at any point or clap?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I will say this, for those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while, Main Street Roasters, one of our sponsors, and we gave away their coffee. I had a chance to I was upward at the clubhouse where the PGA players sign their scorecards and they come out and sign stuff, give autographs, talk to people. Phil Mickelson is a huge coffee guy and he was drinking coffee and I just mentioned somebody had told me before that he's a huge coffee guy. So I just mentioned if he drinks a lot of coffee and that got him talking. So I talked with him for a couple minutes. So he's standing there talking to me about coffee and how it cured a sickness he had. And he actually wondered about Main Street Roasters, where the beans come from. So,
it cured his sickness. He had. So he was more than just drowsiness.
It was some kind. I forget the technical name of it. I think it's some kind of arthritis or something. He said basically, it's not arthritis, but that's what you find when you do search for it. But he said basically every 2 months he would get sick, and he had to watch. Well, he said now that coffee has helped him, he can, you know, kiss and hug his kids and he doesn't have to worry about getting them sick. So I'm not sure. I guess it was pretty bad, but coffee was the cure. So he drinks a lot of coffee and he's very interested in coffee. So I got to talk to him for a couple minutes while he kept signing stuff for other people. So should have thrown in a little tidbit about Irish sports talk, but I didn't do that. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about the big game since no one's allowed to say Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. Was played on Sunday. Phenomenal finish. I am a Colts fan, so of course I wasn't cheering for the Patriots, but I do like Belichick and Brady, and they've definitely got, I mean, it's incredible what they've done. I know, Randall, you tweeted out that you thought, here's something about the Falcons making it look like the NFL is rigged.
Yeah, I've always been – people always say that. And I'm like, well, whatever. It's football. What's the point of, you know, rigging it, blah, blah. But this – the way the game went, the Falcons were making a case from – to all the people that think the NFL is rigged, they made a very good case of that last night.
By passing just, as much as I did towards the end of the game?
Well, just the way – I mean, they were dominating and suddenly just like – they weren't even on defense. They weren't even close to that. The Patriot guys were wide open.
Well, I think they were getting
the last.
I think they were getting wore down.
Well, I agree. I agree. But even like the 2-point conversion, they were doing stuff we see at Notre Dame. I mean, the corners and safeties were lining up a couple yards into the end zone, and so the wide receiver didn't get hit until he was at the goal line. I mean, just stuff like that. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's one thing if you see a team do that during the season, but if you see a team doing that during the Super Bowl, there's a reason they got there. It's because they played good football, and they obviously – it was just terrible. And as a Notre Dame fan, they watching them pass it on third and one, we've seen quite a bit of that. But Atlanta did do that, so it's not just Notre Dame.
All right.
I just hate – I'm just not a Patriots fan at all. And the whole argument about Tom Brady – he is a phenomenal quarterback, but you can put – it was proven at the beginning of the year. You can put a no-name quarterback in at the on the Patriots team, and they still win games.
Okay, but you okay. –
So I would say
you
take all these other quarterbacks in history. I'm not just – even though I'm a Peyton Manning, take any of the other quarterbacks, you know, that have won a couple of Super Bowls, good guys. I mean, if they would have been on this Patriots team – the Patriots' entire team is good.
But it's not like they have a great, great defense. And you do have a point. Beginning of the year.
Here's my case. Okay. Look at what Peyton Manning. You take him off the Colts, they won two games that season. Was it 2012? They took away Peyton Manning, and they won two games that entire year. You take away Tom Brady, and the Patriots still win every game.
Well, the one thing though, as far as
last night
they did have they had a first time starter at the beginning of the year, but you can't just plug anyone in to come back from being down 28-3, was it 28-3 or was it 21-3?
21-3.
You can't just put anyone in there and come back that especially that late in the game. So
I agree. That's more of like the broader topic of who's the greatest quarterback.
All right, well, so there was some Notre Dame-related news or things that happened at the Super Bowl. Rudy auctioned off his helmet, a game-worn helmet and jersey, and the auction price went for just over $240,000. It was an auction through the NFL, and the article that I read over on ESPN said that he did give some of it to NFL charities. So didn't say how much. But it doesn't really matter. I don't care. But just reporting on that. So, $240,000 for a helmet and for a jersey, and I guess Rudy's dad had it, but he passed away recently. And then Rudy said that something about he felt like there's probably someone else that would appreciate having this. So he decided to put it up for auction.
So my question for you, Ruben, where are you going to hang this jersey? And are you going to put the helmet on your desk, or what are you going to do with it?
What do you think I'm wearing right now?
Oh,
no, paraphernalia is really cool. I do really like it, but I don't have the means to spend that much money for a game for Rudy's game worn jersey and helmet.
The other news in the Super Bowl, Michael Floyd got a Super Bowl ring, even though he only appeared in the, I think it was the divisional round, the playoff. He did make a couple of catches in the one playoff game, and he was inactive for this game, but there was a picture of him kissing the trophy after the game, so he was still there, and he gets a ring because he played in one of the playoff games.
All right, good for him. Junior Day is coming up, Randall, and... Is it a big setup? Is it a big deal this year?
Yeah, the biggest thing is that all of the current Notre Dame commits, which there's five of them, are going to be at Junior Day. So this is huge because you got some big name guys coming in as well that aren't committed, and I think it gives these guys, the current commits, a chance to meet up with the new staff. And see what's happening with Notre Dame football right now, because these guys were all recruited by the former coaches. I mean, these guys committed last summer, and so they've been committed for a while, and a lot of things have happened since then. Obviously you got the quarterback, Phil Dracovic, is coming in. He's one of the top quarterbacks. I think he's down to maybe number two. It depends what sites you look at, but he's one of the top quarterbacks in this class. He's coming in, And at first thought they might, he might not be able to make it because he is playing basketball, but he is planning to make it. And he was actually at Junior Day last year as well. But then you have running back Marquise Stepp, which he's been committed to Notre Dame for a long time. You probably know his name because I don't think I've ever seen another recruit recruit other players as much as he does. I mean, he is constantly in contact with other players and trying to get other guys to come to Notre Dame. He's one of Notre Dame's biggest recruiters in this class. Then you got the twin brothers, Jason Ademilola, probably saying it wrong, but that's how we'll start out saying. And then Justin, two twin brothers, defensive line. We'll see how they grow. Originally, when they committed, one of them was defensive lineman, the other was as outside linebacker, but they'll probably both, they could easily end up both playing the defensive line. They got linebacker Obi Ogofu, another linebacker from Michigan. Then you got linebacker Matthew Bo Barr. And so those are the there's six of them. I had said five, but there's currently six commits. So those are the six guys that are committed, and they're all coming to Junior Day on Saturday. And then you got quite a few guys. Let's see, the guys that do have offers, wide receiver Micah Jones, wide receiver Braden Lindsey, defensive end Tyreek Smith, defensive tackle Aeneas Hawkins, and linebacker Dallas Grant. Those guys do have offers. And then there's a couple other guys that don't have offers but could very likely pick them up this weekend. So it's huge, like I said, to get all these guys that are committed to meet the staff. Plus, they're going to make a huge difference recruiting these guys.
Do you remember last year, did this many of the commits show up for Junior Day?
No, there was some of them, but there wasn't. I'd have to go back and check, see how many there actually were on the first Junior Day.
Yeah, it is. I do think it's so important, like you said, having the commits like Marquise Stepp recruit other uncommitted players and to try to help just build a relationship with as many good quality athletes that he can. Because, I mean, we often hear, you know, how close the class is as they're coming in, and definitely, you know, definitely makes a big difference, and it's good to see, and I'm glad that all the committed guys are planning on being there on Junior Day this weekend.
And it'll be interesting to see what this new staff can do as recruiting. I mean, I'm excited to see what they can do just because they obviously finished very strong in the 2017 class, and there are a lot of good recruiters on this coaching staff, and so it'll be interesting to see the results of that. So,
all right.
And I guess with the recruiting, well, and the Super Bowl, actually, former Notre Dame quarterback coach Matt LaFleur would have been the quarterback coach. Got his quarterback to the Super Bowl, and there's actually rumors that he might be the new offensive coordinator for the Rams.
Hold it.
So,
good for him.
As much as we said that he didn't do much at Notre Dame, maybe did a lot more. He's the guy that brought Brandon Wimbush to Notre Dame as well. So a guy that didn't get a lot of publicity that we all thought wasn't doing a whole lot seems to be doing pretty well.
Good for him. All right, Randall, you had mentioned to me before we started recording that there's also a handful of preferred walk-ons that will be at Notre Dame here in the 2017 class. Do you want to go over those?
Yeah, last week, well, after signing day, they added a couple preferred walk-ons, six of them. We have mentioned some of them on the podcast, but here's a list of six. Colin Grunhard is offensive line from Kansas, which is actually Jafar Armstrong's teammate. His dad had played at Notre Dame on the 88 championship team, and his twin sister,
is she also playing football?
Well, I don't think so. Maybe she'll try out, but she is also coming to Notre Dame. So both of them will be there. And then Patrick Pelini is a safety, and it is Bo Pelini's son, former Nebraska head coach, which Pelini's isn't he coaching at Youngstown State right now? So I don't know, just kind of an interesting thing that he picked Notre Dame. I don't know if Nebraska probably wanted to stay away from Nebraska, but I'm not sure what all his options were. He comes from the same school as Kyle and Dan McCarthy did. So there are there's a safety, and then there's a quarterback, J.D. Carney. His dad was a kicker at Notre Dame, and he was also a teammate of current commit Jordan Genmark Heath, one of the guys at Notre Dame signed just in the week before signing day. So there's, you know, you see the teammate connection on some of these. Then you have athlete Cameron Ekanayaka from Michigan. I think he also played quarterback as well in Michigan, but he's listed as an athlete, and I think he plans to be a defensive back at Notre Dame, but he's listed as an athlete. Then another safety, John Mahoney from Iowa, has good grades. I was a 4.1 GPA, so definitely fits in at Notre Dame. But safety, Jack Hennage is a tight end, 6'5", 205 pounds, so big guy. And he's from Chicago. So here you can see they have a couple safeties. So I guess that's one place that a preferred walk-on would have coming in as a preferred walk-on, you'd feel a little better about your chances to get some playing time than maybe at some other position.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think, which you never know with walk-ons, but you know, is there a chance that if you'd have to pick one of these guys, who would be the Chris Fink of this group that maybe as a junior, you know, could maybe get on the field?
I don't know that much about the guys. I mean, Patrick Pelini's smaller guy, 6'1", 160. When I say smaller, that's like my size, but kind of small for football. He needs to add some weight if he wants to be a safety there at Notre Dame. Cameron Ekanayaka is 6'2", 200 pounds, and he's maybe a guy that can make, because he's played so many different positions. So maybe, you know, he has a better chance of playing because of his ability to play different positions. But and then John Mahoney, 6 foot, 199 pounds. I'd say one of the safeties. That's what I'm going with. I can't tell you which one, but I'd say one of the safeties. I don't think any of them ever will, but best chance to be one of the safeties.
All right. And then Notre Dame came out and released their plans for the stadium pricing. And there's some good news there if you're a Notre Dame football fan who enjoys going to the games, because, you know, some of the prices are actually a little bit less than they had been.
You can actually get tickets for $45 this year, which you could do that last year too. It just wasn't the box office price. That was outside the stadium. So who knows what the price of these tickets will be on game day. It all depends on how the season will go.
Yeah.
But Temple, Wake Forest, Miami of Ohio, upper end zone tickets are $45. But so then there's a seating chart, and it varies. Like for those games, it varies from $200 to $45. And then for games like Georgia, USC, it varies from $300 to $95. Do you like the different prices? I mean, what do you think about the ticket prices at Notre Dame right now?
Well, I think it makes sense because I would much rather go to a Georgia game than the Temple game. And so I'd spend more money to go to – it depends. Yeah, it depends what kind of person you are too. I mean, if you don't want to spend that kind of money, well, here you can possibly get quite a bit cheaper ticket to go to a Temple game versus – a big time matchup with Georgia or one of the rivals. So yeah, I'm a fan of this. I think it makes sense. I think it's a good thing. It's kind of confusing, and I'm still not sure how this is going to work with You know, getting with scalping tickets because, well, those prices vary so much anyway. So
yeah,
if you typically scalp tickets, it might not affect it at all.
Yeah. I did not like the prices last year. I was to get tickets for way less than a normal ticket price just because of a terrible year, but they're way overpriced. And Notre Dame had, some people were like, well, you know, they have stadium upgrades, you know, they're making money for that, but that was all paid for. They had the money for that before they start. The Notre Dame project has 100% of the money before they start. So
I think they're worried.
Prices were ridiculous last year.
Yeah, well, I think they're worried about filling the seats because I would rather watch the game in front of a TV in my living room or at Buffalo Wild Wings with friends or something like that. I'd rather do that than actually go to the game most of the time. And so,
see, I enjoy going to the game. So,
and you know that might change with the Jumbotron. You know, I'm really interested and excited about that. Because that possibly could completely change the way I view going to games.
Yeah. Oh, it'll help a lot. But even last year, you know, they had some of the ticket prices were like $250, and you could get tickets for, you know, $30 if you're scalping tickets. And I had talked to one person and asked how much they wanted for them. They were, well, look, the, you know, original price is $250, and I was like, I didn't say anything. I was like, I don't care. You can't sell them for that. Yeah, I mean, so it is nice to see some of these ticket prices lower. As a fan, I like it.
All right, Randall, for this weekend, do you expect that Notre Dame will pick up, or will give some offers and also pick up another commit or two?
Yeah, I'm going to say, I don't know which guy, but I'm going to say they get one commit this weekend.
And you think they give out a few more offers?
Probably. I'd have to look at it. I mean, it all depends who's coming in for that.
All right. That's all I've got. Anything else from you, Randall?
No, not really.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Check back on Monday, and we'll talk, recap the Notre Dame's Junior Day. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.